the leader of the Democratic Alliance, in my sights. Thank you so much for your time. Many saying that this is a watershed moment for South African politics and proves that the DA has teeth. Where do we start?
Well, I certainly think it is a watershed moment, but I certainly don't agree with some of the analysis that this is something to be concerned about. I think it's a healthy sign. We had a budget that was prepared to be tabled yet that clearly did not have violent support from all parties, including some in the ANC. And it got withdrawn and postponed until a later date so that we could come back with a pro-growth, pro-jobs budget. And I think that this is something to be welcomed. I think it's a very clear sign that there is a government of national unity now with other parties around the table, and that cabinet and parliament is no longer just a rubber stamp, that if you want to get things done, it has to be based on consensus. And I think that South Africans were definitely the winner yesterday. I don't think any of the parties were the winners. I think the people of South Africa were winners because they woke up this morning without a 2% VAT increase to add to the already high cost of living that many are facing.
Agreed. And there is a lot of positive political analysis coming through and saying that this is a watershed moment for the positive, for the country. The question is, why did it come down to the wire? Why couldn't this negotiation have happened before the minister was about to walk up to the podium?
Well, it had been happening. It had been happening for the last fortnight. It was only in the last 2 weeks that it was alerted to cabinet that there was a problem with both the expected, projected income, but also the effect of the SRD grant court judgment, which had indicated that there would have to be a raising of the SRD grant. That money's got to come from somewhere. And there was a 60 billion rand hole in the budget, and we needed to fill that. And a variety of matters were discussed. Nothing was agreed on at that initial meeting. And a couple of days later, we were alerted to the fact that there was now this VAT increase on the table. We've been very clear in all of the meetings we've had, both with the Minister of Finance, but also in Cabinet, that a 2% increase in VAT would not be acceptable to us and to our electorate and voters, and that we would not be able to support a budget in Parliament that had a 2% VAT increase on it, because we care deeply about the South African citizens who are already, as I say, buckling under a huge strain. 2% of increasing VAT would have led to, I think, greater inflationary pressures on the economy, but also would have added to the burden of already overburdened citizens. And we mustn't underestimate the impact of these things on the ordinary lives of ordinary people. And we've seen in Kenya what happens when decisions are made thinking that, oh, well, you know, people will just accept it. And I think that we've managed to avert that. And I think that's a positive thing. And I think it's a way a mature government operates.
I was chatting to Davi Ruart from the Efficient Group just a moment ago, and he is saying that no party who is concerned about their citizens goes ahead with a dramatic VAT hike. And this is effectively what the ANC was trying to do. Does it show that the ANC is actually not operating in the interests of the man and woman on the street in South Africa?
Well, I want to just say that it precisely shows why coalitions are so important and so useful, because a single party with a single idea doesn't get an opportunity to now impose that on the rest of the country. It has to now be part of a negotiation. And the fact that the DA and other parties and some within the ANC put their foot down very clearly shows that this is a far healthier situation. I'm concerned that the matter was taken, obviously, to the wire, despite the very clear opposition from people within cabinets and as parties. And that was from all parties. And I think that it's a healthy sign now that a pause was put on this. Said, okay, we're not going to proceed down this road. We need to go back to the drawing board. Let's find something that's pro-growth, pro-jobs, and doesn't burden its citizens. And as I said at the beginning, I think the citizens are the real winners in this particular situation.
Davi also saying, if you look at the fiscal accounts for the country, there's absolutely no further room to borrow. There's no further room to burden either South African business or South African consumers from a tax perspective. Looks like we're pretty much between a rock and a hard place when it comes to South Africa's finances.
Well, of course we are. And, you know, what we need to do is look at other countries who have been in similar situations to ours, also emerging markets. Let's look at Argentina, for instance. Now, you may or may not like Mr. Milei and what he's doing in Argentina, but it's bold and it's new and it's brave and it's bringing down inflation and creating growth. I think South Africa similarly needs to take the big, bold, brave decisions now that are going to be required to promote growth. But we've got to move beyond cut or tax. We've got to start moving to growth, because it's through growth that we're going to see the budget in a far healthier situation. Tax has writ a Laffer curve, and I think the SARS commissioner has been very honest, and he needs to be commended for his honesty in what he's saying is the efficacy of greater tax increases, saying, you know, it comes to a point where you can squeeze no more and it becomes inefficient rather than efficient tax collection. And we must heed what Commissioner Kiesbeth is saying. He knows what he's talking about. But secondly, we've got to move beyond just cuts. We've got to grow the economy. We've got a growth problem in South Africa. And unless we're prepared to take the bold chainsaw decisions, as Mr. Milei has done, I'm afraid we're going to be having this fight every year about what do we cut and how do we tax more. We've got to get growth moving in South Africa. And that's what this budget needs to do. How do you table a budget that has a 1.9% growth forecast when the president and the FONA has said very ambitiously, we want 3% growth? We need a budget on the table that's going to show how we're going to get to 3% growth, not 1.9% growth over the medium term. And that's what the focus, I believe, of the next few weeks has to be, a growth budget that stokes how we stimulate the economy, how we are able to cut more wasteful expenditure, but also relieve the burden on our already overburdened citizens.
And one more line item, I know we are out of time, but is the civil servant expenditure line and increases that are being proposed at that level. Surely we've got to see some efficiencies coming through, some tidying up, some cutting on civil servants.
Of course. And I mean, part of this budget was a early retirement scheme as well that would look at being able to lift that burden over the medium term. And it was one of the issues we were very supportive of within the budget. But we have to look at how we reduce the size of government and the cost of government. And I think there are greater efficiencies that we need to bring into bear at a national level, which also then shows citizens that we are equally committed as the state to cutting our cloak according to the cloth, rather than just ordering, you know, reams of new material at huge price. We've got to live within our means, and I think government should be setting the example about how it does that, and sending out a very clear signal on that particular one. And that means things like getting rid of some of the sacred cows in government, reducing the size of the civil service, making sure that we cut down the cost of the executive. Are we, you know, do all of these things that contribute towards lowering the expenditure and making the tough choices? We can't do everything. We've got to focus on things government can and must do, and do them well and fund them well, but understand that we can't do everything. We can't spend 5 billion rand peacekeeping in the DRC whilst we have a 60 billion rand hole in our own budget. And these are the tough choices that are going to have to be made over the next few weeks to get us to a point where we have a budget that's pro-growth and in line with what our citizens expect from us.
You mentioned over the next few weeks. What does that look like? I mean, are we going to be hard at the negotiating table? Give us some insight into what the next couple of weeks.
I don't think it's about being hard. I think it's about being pragmatic and about compromising. And I think that's going to be the big thing there. Realizing that not every party is going to get everything at once out of the budget process. And that's just how the nature of these coalitions are and how they work. But every party should be able to get its ideas on the table. And those ideas should deserve a fair shot. No one party, whether it's the DA or the ANC or the PA or the IFP or the Freedom Front Plus, has a monopoly on good ideas. Good ideas come from all parties. And I think it is important that there is a facility where those can be put on the table, they can be costed, and we can take from each of those things that can work and are good ideas and move forward. I thought, I think there are great ideas that will come from within all parties, including the ANC, around what we can do to make sure we've got a budget that's pro-growth and doesn't burden citizens.